The last pre-convention debate sponsored by the University of Minnesota College Democrats was sparsely attended. Less than 50 people dotted chairs in a law school lecture room to hear from attorney Mike Cerisi, former state auditor Mark Dayton, state senators Jerry Janicich and Steve Kelly, former U.S. attorney David Lillehog, U of M physician Steve Miles, businesswoman Rebecca Yanish, and Minneapolis writer and artist Ole Savior. All of the candidates agreed the federal government needs to do more to try to prevent gun violence. Rebecca Yanish, who recently rallied for gun control in Washington during the so-called Million Mom March, outlined what she characterized as a common sense approach.
First and foremost, when we look at the safety issues, is including locking mechanisms on guns. The second issue that we need to look at that a lot of people have been discussing is putting the resources into the enforcement of the gun control regulations we have on the books right now. And I think the third issue, too, is really looking at closing loopholes on gun sales in gun shows.
All of the candidates said they supported trigger locks. Some also spoke about increasing gun safety education. Steve Kelly said he thinks it's time for the government to outlaw more weapons.
Ban the manufacture of Saturday night specials. Guns designed really only to hurt or maim people that have their worst effect on our kids.
On health care reform, a topic the field of candidates frequently finds itself addressing, everyone agreed not enough Americans have adequate health care. Asked how to change the system, differences emerged. David Lillehog said he favors a single-payer private provider system. Mark Dayton, Steve Kelly, and Mike Cerisi indicated they favor keeping the current system, but making it available to more people and making it more affordable. Steve Miles, the physician who says his background in science would be valuable in the Senate, departed from the pack with his contention that health coverage should have nothing to do with employment.
We have to cut the connection between workplace and health care. I disagree with Mark on this. Right now, 50% of the workforce cannot switch jobs for fear of losing their health care. That means we can't respond to new technologies and new industries. We are discouraging entrepreneurs. It's just plain wrong. No other country says your health care will be contingent on where you work. We shouldn't do it.
Throughout the campaign, the DFLers have avoided personal attacks on one another. Instead, they frequently tear into Republican incumbent Rod Grams. Last night, the Clinton administration took some shots. Jerry Janicich, who bills himself as a consensus builder, said the country cannot effectively address the health care problem without political will, which he accused the Democratic president of lacking.
One of the biggest disappointments I've had with the Clinton administration is they went to Washington on health care. They took one run at it and let it go. And they've been there for 8 years. If we would have spent as much time on health care as we did on NAFTA and on world trade, we would have forced something to happen there.
And the criticism of President Clinton didn't end there. When the topic of campaign finance reform rolled around, Mark Dayton blamed Clinton for the escalation of what he characterizes as out-of-control political fundraising.
We've had a total breakdown in this country of campaign finance rules and regulations. I mean, the sky is the limit, and as a Democrat, I hate to say it, but it's the Democratic president who has set the pace in this. Both parties' election processes are just up for sale to the highest bidders, and then we wonder why special interests dominate in Washington.
In 1982, the last time Dayton ran for Senate, he spent nearly $7 million of his own money. He now says that was a mistake. David Lillehog suggested that he and the other candidates could do something right away to show they're committed to campaign finance reform.
Let me kick out a proposal tonight. Why don't we just pool our campaign funds, let's buy TV time, have a debate a week, and skip the 30-second ads. Would everybody agree to that?
Only Mike Cerisi responded to Lillehog's challenge. He's the only candidate so far with television ads, and he made it clear he's not interested in sharing his money with the others. All of the candidates said they supported restricting, some of them banning, so-called soft campaign money. On national defense, all of the candidates, except for Mike Cerisi, said they would support less spending on the military. Cerisi said he'd have to thoroughly study the budget before he could determine whether spending cuts could be made. The candidates also talked about education an issue polls show voters are particularly concerned about. All of them said the federal government needs to do more, starting with providing more funding for current special education programs. Mike Cerisi called education the key to moving up the economic ladder.
Education is one of the primary things that the federal government should take a role in. We need to have teacher training. We need more teachers. Rod Grams on March 29th, I believe, of this year, voted against 100,000 more teachers. We need appropriate facilities in our rural areas so the government can be a catalyst in those areas.
Lillehaug said more people could be attracted to the teaching profession if the federal government agreed to pay off student loans in exchange for teaching commitments. Mark Dayton said the government should pay off student loans of people willing to commit to a variety of community service efforts. Fielding questions from students, the candidates said they supported protections for transgender people and all said they provide their campaign staffers with health insurance. Janicich said he does not provide health insurance for the part-time workers he employs at his Northern Minnesota bar. Generally, it has been the seven major candidates who've taken part in the DFL Senate debates, even though nine people have filed to run in the DFL primary. One of the so-called minor candidates, self-described Minneapolis artist and writer Ole Savior, was given a seat at the table last night after demanding to be included and accusing the media of shunning his campaign effort.
Censorship and exclusion should not be part of this DFL race, and so far you have done this to us a lot, and we are not going to stand for it.
Savior said if he's elected, he'll work to redirect military spending toward education and social programs. At one point, as the candidates were discussing how to accomplish health care reform, Savior told the group, laughing, he was reading off of another candidate's notes. DFL officials say given the wide field of candidates and no clear frontrunner, they're expecting a lively state convention this weekend as the issue of endorsing someone finally moves to center stage. This is Mark Sedeklik, Minnesota Public Radio.